Your job, Ingeborg, is to make the monitor wrong. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with a thought for today. Ingeborg, your job is to make the monitor wrong. Your job is to make the monitor wrong. That's what your job is to be. Your job is not to live, not to die, not to do anything, but to make the monitor wrong.
Yes.
I'm so glad you understand what I'm saying. What am I talking about?
Computer.
Ah,
monitor.
I hope to heaven that's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about your blood pressure monitor. The monitor that monitors
signs,
your blood pressure.
Yes, yes.
And your job is to make it wrong.
Yes.
Your job is to make it wrong. Your job is to take your blood pressure, and if it says 150, 180, 200 or whatever, you're supposed to bring it down. Now, the way to bring it down is to tie a rope around your arm and not let the blood flow, and then you know it'll be down. Yeah, it'll be down to zero. Yeah. Now, how do you bring your blood pressure down? And to bring it down for monitoring is good. To bring it down for keeps is better. But to bring it down is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to prove the monitor is wrong. The monitor says, whoops, way up there, or way, way down there. It should you're dead, but it's too low. But the monitor should have a nice, what is it, 75 to 120, something like that.
120,
115.
120 is
an ideal. Okay.
They promote.
Sorry. Sylvia, she is just trying to pull my chain here. I know I'm good, but I didn't know that I was ideal. This morning I took my blood pressure three times. And it was 109, 119, and 127. So you see. And so yesterday I took it, and it was 143, and 128, and 115, you know. And then the other days I took it. So I read a book by a doctor and on blood pressure, and he said, your blood pressure is by your mental attitude. Your blood pressure is 100% your mental attitude. 100% your mental attitude. And when your mental attitude is tension, frustration, you know, uptightness, if your mental attitude is worry, and he says worry is one of the most terrible things that you could ever have in the world, because you can do something about it. You can do something about it. You can get rid of your worry. Real quick.
In a hurry. Real quick in a hurry.
Real quick in a hurry. You can get rid of your worry. Now, if your blood pressure thing says it's too high, and then you take a second blood pressure thing, and it goes down, and you take a third, and it goes down, well now, why can't you just take the blood pressure thing where it's down? You know, and take the lowest reading that you have. Well, because theoretically that's not the way you're supposed to do it. What you're supposed to do is you're supposed to be able to take it consecutively and have it be consecutive. You know, so you take your blood pressure, and if you're all upset, you're in trouble. Now, this doctor said the way to do these things is, before you take your blood pressure test, is to sit down and meditate for at least 5 minutes and breathe deeply and relax and meditate and think beautiful thoughts. In fact, if you can think no thoughts at all, that's even better. Just think about nothing at all. Just think how wonderful you are. You know, that is, you know, what a beautiful person you are. Oh, I'm so handsome. I'm so pretty. I'm so beautiful. I'm this and that. You know, just think all these lovely, silly thoughts. And then you take your blood pressure. And you'll be amazed in 5 minutes how your blood pressure can get to normal. Now, people who have their blood pressure because of their athletic work, they have it rather high, or people because they are in a stress. They took a test of people in Japan who were on the edge of a volcano, and the volcano erupted, and it came down into their town, and it killed people, and it ruined property. It did all these things. Well, the Japanese Medical Society was doing a test, you know, let's test these things, you know. Let's see, how were they before? And how were they during? And how are they after? So they took blood pressure tests on these people, you know. You got to be really alert to do that, you know. Lava rolling all around you. And so they found that people who lost a loved one or a family member, or who lost some property, had very high blood pressure. But people who were at the volcano and who were observing it or who were helping or whatever had normal blood pressure. To lose something, it's a mental thing, as you can readily see. To lose a loved one or to lose some property, boing, up she goes, you know. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know. That's why Mother says, just be happy. We all came out alive. We lost the house. We lost all of our memorabilia. We lost everything, but we all came out alive. And how wonderful we lost all of our memorabilia. Because now we start fresh. We start brand new and fresh. Now, Ingeborg, you were telling me the other day you had high blood pressure. And I said to you, Ingeborg, no, you don't. And Ingeborg, oh yes, I do. And you were getting more and more upset. And so I just took a hammer and hit you on the head, and then I took your blood pressure. And your blood pressure was normal, because I took away all your worry. You see, but actually that's what it is. Now, can we do that for ourselves? And the answer is yes. We can do that for ourselves by what?
Relaxing.
And I gave you a word.
Meditate.
Meditating, right. Relaxing is good. But to relax and worry is not good. But to relax and meditate. Meditate is just relaxing and thinking lovely thoughts and just meditating and quietly, peacefully being in yourself. It's just wonderful. Now, if you can learn to do that, you can have perfect blood pressure. Now, what is the thing that gives people heart attacks, gives people all sorts of body ailments? What makes the blood system out of order? Your heart. What causes your heart to not function properly? What causes your veins and arteries and capillaries not to pass the blood along to take the oxygen where it has to go and take it to your body? It's your blood pressure. Now, can you have a body that's all mixed up and not have to go to the doctor to have it fixed up? What do? You go inside your own mind, you relax, and it be at peace. Now, what does the mother do to her child who's all upset? She takes him in her arms and says, there, there, there. And she kisses the child and says, that's okay. That's okay. But they're doing this, sir. That's okay. That's okay. Now, it may not be okay. I mean, she may plan on taking care of the situation very definitely, but as far as her child is concerned, she wants her child to be at peace. She doesn't want her child to have a heart attack. Children can have heart attacks, you know. She doesn't want her child to have high blood pressure. Children can have high blood pressure. And as they have high blood pressure, when it's not detected, because they're just so active, it puts all sorts of conditions on their blood vessels, which makes things out of order. Now, here we are. Let's just say at our 100 mark, you know, 100 years old. And we're a mess. We're all high blood pressure, and we're high blood sugar, and we're high this, and we're high that, we're high another thing. And we say, oh my God, you know, if I could just die and get out of this body. And then somebody comes along and says, hey, how would you like to live another 100 years? Not in this body. Well, of course not. How would you like to live another 100 years? In a healthy body? Healthy mind? Sure, sure. Okay. So, I'll give you amnesia. Now, you don't remember a thing about all of your hang-ups, all of your anxieties, all of your tensions, all of your worries. You don't remember a thing about it. You don't remember a thing about all of your high blood pressure. You don't remember a thing about your high blood sugar. You don't remember a thing. It's caused by the same thing. It's all caused by the same thing, that you're not operating your body well. And so, I get you to relax, to be at peace, to forget the past. This doctor said, we cannot live in the past, and we cannot live in the future. We can only live in the now. And that's very wisely said. That seems to be the attitude that's going around these days, and that's good. Mm-hmm. But you can only live in the now. So, Ingeborg, Cecilia, as we are talking, we will talk only of the now. And we won't talk about, for instance, we were just talking about taking dogs on a train or taking dogs in a restaurant in Europe. And we said, we can take a dog in a restaurant. And Ingeborg, Sylvia said, well, not big ones, and not this, and not that. Well, Sylvia, don't do that. Our consciousness is that we can take dogs in restaurants in Europe. And we're not in the middle of taking a dog in a restaurant in the middle. And we're not going to be tested. We're not going to be checked out. So don't go bringing up the negatives, as is our want to do. Don't do that, because right away the story goes, oh, hell, you know. Let's talk about something else that we can be harmonious about. But if you're going to say, you can't bring big dogs in a restaurant, and you can't bring sick dogs in a restaurant, and you can't bring howling dogs in a restaurant, and you can't bring biting dogs in a restaurant, and you can't bring naughty dogs and shitty dogs and pissy dogs in a restaurant, if they haven't learned to do their potty training outside, then they can't come. Well, of course, all of these things may well benefit them. But that's not the subject at the moment. We're not being tested on how intelligent we are and how much knowledge we have about bringing dogs in various places in Europe. You know, we're just talking lovingly and saying, hey, isn't that neat? Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't it be fun? Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine, Sylvia, can you imagine bringing a, what do you call these big dogs, had a bottle of whiskey in their throat.
Oh, Saint
Bernard. Saint Bernard. Can you imagine bringing a Saint Bernard in a restaurant? I mean, he would take up more, not the whole table, he'd lift it up when he got up, you know. Or if he laid next to it or laid in the aisle, he'd be in the way of the waitress and stuff. But the thing is, wouldn't it be wonderful?
Yes.
And there are restaurants that you can do that. Yes. And but the thing is, as far as we're concerned, any restaurant in Europe you can do that. And we're not in the business of taking our German, our great Dane, our
Saint Bernard
into the restaurants. But the thing is, it's just an idea. It's just a comment. You see, that's what causes frustration. That's what causes irritation. That's what causes anxiety. That's what causes worry. That's what causes tension. Whenever we try to correct somebody else, or whenever we try to upgrade somebody else, I have a personal unhappiness, and that personal unhappiness is every time I walk the path, I cannot figure out whether it's 3 miles or 4 miles. And I'm always remembering Ingeborg saying, or Sylvia saying, it's 3 miles and not 4 miles and maybe not even 3 miles. And it takes all the fun out of it for me, because I don't give a damn as far as worrying, but it takes all the fun out of it, because every time I walk the path, I think, no, it's not 4 miles, it's 3 miles. And if I say 4 miles, then Sylvia's going to think that I'm lying, and then Sylvia's going to tell people that I'm lying, and then people are going to say, we can't believe in her because he lies. You can't even tell us what the truth about what the mileage is of the path, you know. And so I don't just have to measure it once again and figure out what it is. But the thing is, I like my 4 mile path, but I can't have it. It was taken away from me by the anxiety and by the tension and by the comment of somebody else. Now, maybe somebody else will come here and, yeah, that's past. Well, leave it past. Leave it past. What are you doing?
I was throwing it.
Okay, then leave it past. Don't ever bring up. And again, now, Ingeborg has what? Ideal?
Blood pressure.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Ingeborg has ideal blood pressure.
Yes.
Where did you get it?
I think about it. No.
You don't think about it. You are relaxed.
I affirm it.
You don't affirm it. You are relaxed.
I am.
You are relaxed, and the blood pressure isn't even there. You are at peace, and the pressure is no longer there. What did Sylvia do?
I have no idea.
Look at Sylvia. Sylvia, sure what you did. Now, what did Sylvia do?
Talking with her hands.
That's right. And she says she's throwing it away.
Yes.
It's in the back. It's in the back. Now, if you want to be a mean son of a bitch, then you go ahead, but not in my household. Around here, we love everybody. We love
yes.
everybody. And Sylvia is not talking with her hands. She's demonstrating with her hands, but she's saying what I wanted her to say.
Good.
If anybody's going to pick on Sylvia, I'm going to pick on Sylvia. You guys don't know how to do it and really do it good. Right, Sylvia?
Right.
Okay. Now, you, whenever you think of me, think a happy thought. And if you think a happy thought when you think of me, then you think a happy thought when you think of Sylvia, and you think a happy thought when you think of Ellen, and you think a happy thought when you think of, my God, yourself. But that's all we allow around here. Because I don't really care. This is a monastery. This is a school. And in this school, if we have a vendetta against anybody else, if we have an anxiety against anybody else, anxiety, vendetta. If we have an unhappiness about anybody else, anxiety, vendetta, unhappiness. If we have a worry about anybody else, anxiety, vendetta, worry, high blood pressure. If we have any of that sort of stuff, we're doing it to ourselves. I don't want you here. I don't want you here. I don't want you here. I said to Ilse, Ilse, your doctor said, take these pills and you will be fantastic. And when she took the pills, she was fantastic. And then she wouldn't take them. So we tried to put them in her orange juice. We tried to do everything we could, and she wouldn't do it. She just was a pain in the butt. And so I said, Ilse, if you're going to be such a negative consciousness around here, you go somewhere else. And so she left the campus. I'm tough. Because I will not tolerate that here. Because every one of us is a loving, beautiful being. Now, have you ever seen any more beautiful person in the world than Sylvia? Ingeborg?
Well, I have.
All right. Ellen, have you ever seen any more... Sylvia, have you ever seen any more wonderful person in this world than Sylvia?
No.
My God, you are on the ball.
Yeah.
You're on the ball. Now, one day, Ingeborg is going to be on your level of consciousness. One day, Ingeborg is going to be on your level, Ellen, where she sees only good. She sees only the beautiful. And when she does that, her blood pressure will be down to absolute
perfection,
you know. And her everything will be perfection. But so long as she holds vendettas in her heart, anxieties, worries, concerns, she's not worth a hill of beans. She's not worth our attention, that's for sure. But if she wants to walk our path, I'll walk it. But she has to walk it. She cannot have us carry her. And if we're going to carry her all the time by saying, no, 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 you got to have positive thinking, positive thinking, positive thinking. You said to yourself it's positive thinking, right?
Yes.
Well, then do it. Now, we have this on tape, and we're going to put it on the internet. But the thing is, sure, we swear. Sure, we get upset and angry. And sure, when you guys are in school here, and you don't even know what 2 times 2 is, I say to myself, where did I go wrong? You know, where did I go wrong? If I say to you, anxiety, vendetta, tension, worry, and lots more, are all of the same ilk. They're all of the same feature. They all are killers. And they're killers as much as any knife or gun or hands around your throat could ever do. You know, you say a person dies of starvation. They don't have enough to eat. I wonder what you would call a person who dies of too much anger, too much hate, too much unhappiness in their heart. What would that be called? Starvation is a good word, but that would be overkill. But we don't want that. We don't want that at all. And we don't want that at all. We want, will the real Ingeborg please stand up?
Yes.
Will the real Ingeborg please stand up?
Then do it.
Then stand up. Will the real Ingeborg please stand up? Oh, you did that. So stay up now. Don't fall back in your chair. Stand up. There you are. Now, is the real Ingeborg standing?
Yes.
Is the real Ingeborg Miss Wonderful?
Yes.
Is the real Ingeborg peace and
yes.
love and unconditional love?
Yes.
Is the real Ingeborg fantastic?
Yes.
Sit down. You got it made, babe. That's wonderful. Rex even came over and said, I agree. Now, this is what we all have to be. Now, did Jesus have the patience to work with his disciples?
Yes.
Did he say, you disciple are not as good one as here, and Judas, did he say, Judas, you're pushing me, Judas, you're pushing me, you're trying to make me act faster than I want to act. Judas, I don't want anything to do with you. Judas, I don't want anything to do with you. Did he say that?
No.
Well, can we say that about Ingeborg? We don't want anything to do with her because we're losing our patience with her? No. Ingeborg is fantastic. We love you, Ingeborg. Now, Ingeborg, are you willing to play the game? And the answer is yes. Is the answer yes?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then play the game now. And this is what it is. It's a school here. We're learning to play the game of the school. When the children go to school, what does the teacher do? She says, I'm going to give you a new game today. We're going to put apples on everybody's desk. All right, now, Sylvia, take 2 of your apples and give them to Ingeborg. And so then I say, now, Sylvia, take 1 of your apples and give them to Ellen. Now, Sylvia, here is a bunch more apples. Now, Sylvia, you got the most apples of everybody. Sylvia, how many apples do you have? Well, just a minute. 2, 3, 4, 5. I have lots of them, you know. Well, count them. And so she counts them. No, Sylvia, you don't have 14, you have 13. Well, I have 14. Look, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 13. Where did that other apple go? You gave it to Ellen. And you weren't thinking about it. You're remembering it wrong. Now, is that fun?
Mm-hmm.
Is that fun?
Of course.
Ingeborg, give all your apples to Sylvia. Now, Ingeborg, Ellen's going to give you 1 apple, and I'm going to give you 1 apple. But Ingeborg, you are going to take the apple from Ellen because it's so beautiful, and you're going to eat it. Now you've eaten Ellen's apple. Now, Ingeborg, how many apples do you have? Ellen
1.
Gave you 1, and I gave you 1.
1?
Yes. How come you only got 1?
Because 1 I have eaten.
See, you learn to play the game.
Yes.
Yeah, but
this is easy.
All games are easy. Now, this is what teachers do with children in school. They teach them simple, easy games to learn. And, oh, I got it. Yeah, and that enthusiasm of having got it, but when it really wasn't that tough, as you said, it wasn't that tough, there's only one there, you know. It wasn't hard for me to say that. Well, you see, this is what we want to do. We want to make the monastery as a school fun, and lots of fun. And when I say to you, do something, you say, oh, hell, Herb, go to hell. Stick your head in a hole. And I say, okay, then you don't want to be here. Well, I don't want to do what you asked me to do. But what did I ask you to do? You asked me to lift up my leg every time I got up out of my chair or off the bed and move it back and forth at least 10 times and then do the other leg. And I never get anything done. What do you want to have done? And that's what life is all about. Playing games, doing wonderful things, having lots of fun. Now, are you interested in playing games? Are you interested in being here at the monastery? Are you interested in having perfect blood pressure?
Mm-hmm.
Well then, relax. I tell you, please take time every day to meditate. I know you don't do it. You take time to sleep. You don't take time to meditate. I tell you each day, please take time to do your energy massage. I know you don't do it. I know you don't.
I do.
Ingeborg, you don't. And Sylvia, I know you don't. And Ellen, I know you do sometimes, but not all the time. The thing is, these are rules of the game. And we want to play it, and we want to play it well and wisely. And if we don't, we're going to be out of business very quickly. Because if a monastery, if a school, if an organization doesn't follow its principles, it has no principles, it has no reason for being.
Yeah.
And so, if we have no reason for being, then I might as well retire and expire. Because that's what Dorothea did. She retired and expired. That's what everyone does. They retire and expire. When they have no longer anything to be their guiding light or be their challenge or be their interest. So, blood pressure, we want to lower it. All right, then take your blood pressure if it's high. Then relax. It's merely telling you you're tense, you're upset. Relax, and then relax. Take it, then take it again until it's where it should be. When it's normal, then remember to stay balanced, to stay relaxed, to stay at peace, because that's what it's all about. Practice this, live it, love it, and you'll find that you're really more wonderful than you ever knew, and life is more fun than you ever realized it could be. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Bye.